por la avenida. No tiene marcas, pero todos saben que es policía. Pedro Navaja, las manos siempre dentro al gabán. Mira y sonríe y el diente de oro vuelve a brillar. Mientras camina, pasa la vista de esquina a esquina. No se ve un alma, está desierta toda la avenida. Cuando de pronto esa mujer sale del zaguán.
In Vincent Nunez's latest film, Spoken Word, Cruz Montoya is something of a poetry rock star. He fills auditoriums throughout the West Coast, revealing his innermost feelings through verse. But Cruz is forced to leave his world and his artist girlfriend when he learns that his father in New Mexico is fatally ill. He returns to his hometown, now overrun with drugs and violence, to visit the dying father he never knew all that well. Ruben Blades plays that father, and he's here with us today to discuss the film. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you very much, and hello, New York.
Your character is Senor, who's I always wondered whether it was meant to be Senior Senor because
Cruz Senior.
He's dying of pancreatic cancer. Can you tell us a bit about him?
The basic argument is that this is a man who came from a small community in New Mexico, rural community.
It's filmed in Chimayo, which is north of Santa Fe,
famous
for a restaurant and a weaving shop, if I remember correctly.
And the church, which is credited with many curas, many healing cases. And he goes from there to he does a couple of Vietnam tours and at the end returns to his land, to his place. And he has a very bad relationship with his son, who leaves the area trying to, escape from him in a way and escape from the arguments in there that were pretty much defined by the drug use, which is unfortunately a reality in certain areas.
Well, he doesn't want anyone to know that he's dying. Actually, he has problems with both of his sons because he's not all that communicative.
No.
And you wonder if this is his personality or the sort of thing that we might expect from someone coming out of that culture.
I think basically the problem of not talking, the families not talking to each other is not new. I mean, it's always been this way. You actually may end up having a closer relationship with a friend. Which you choose, you don't choose your family, you choose your friends. And a lot of times people in the family become very antagonistic and dismissive of each other. And in a macho culture where you're expected to do certain things for the family honor, et cetera, if you don't toe the line, then, you don't get the same type of respect.
And another theme in this film is about the clash between the old Hispanic culture, or I guess it's Mexican-American culture, and the urban hip-hop culture that has moved into even small towns now.
I guess every generation is going to try to find its own ways to define itself. I hear a lot of times people asking me about music, and they ask me, why is it that the music today is not like the music of yesterday? And my answer is, it's never been that way. It's always been different, and it would always be different. And each generations will define its voice, its own voice, And a parent would like for his son or daughter to be just like they were, that just doesn't happen in reality.
Well, in this case, he has a son who has really been an achiever.
Mm-hmm.
You get the feeling he's not all that proud, or at least he can't express. The title of the film is Spoken Word. So this is all about people who can say things and can't say things.
I think the problem of self-esteem is the lack of or the lack of the capacity to believe that what you do is has any worth is an international problem. It's a human problem. And I think that's part of his problem. It all depends on how strong it was, the upbringing you had, I find. When I got to New York in 1974, I had a very strong background, spiritually speaking, because of my family, because my father, my mother, my grandmother, and it was very instrumental in my having success in a place, in a milieu that was totally different and new to me.
Well, you grew up in Panama.
Yes.
Would there be any similarities between the culture you grew up with and what you found when you went to New Mexico to film this?
Yes, because the first...
You could connect to the character senior?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially now at my age, because I've written songs that I'm beginning to understand. I'm reading songs I wrote 30 years ago. Now I'm beginning to understand them because I'm there. Mm-hmm. And the Latin family is very, very structured, very together. I mean, I lived with my family until they had to leave Panama for political reasons in 1973, but I was 25 years old at the time, and the idea of moving out of the house never occurred to me. You know, the only problem you had, you couldn't bring girls to the house. I mean, your mother would she's probably skin you alive. But other than that, there's no sense of leaving the house. You know, that's where you eat, that's where everything happens, and that's where you have your family, and that's where you contribute. So that's and the fact also, my father and I never had like in-depth conversations of anything. You know, it was more looking at each other or talking about specifics, but there wasn't that kind of like the in-depth philosophy discussions about anything.
Well, Cruz is obviously ambivalent about returning to his hometown because he knows he's going to have problems with his father. On the other hand, he feels a certain amount of familial responsibility. Mm-hmm. His poetry allows him to reveal his innermost feelings to huge audiences, and yet he seems unable to connect with his father.
And again, his father probably at the beginning doesn't quite understand why his son turned out the way he did. And his father already... My character, Cruz Sr., having been already disappointed by what he found outside of the area, realized that perhaps the only way to have some control over his life is to return to the place that saw him begin. And he has learned that truth. And the fact that his son hasn't sort of gotten hip to that truth, I think it bothers him. Plus, his knowledge as a teacher, because he was a teacher, that his son did not learn enough from him to not fall into the pitfall of drugs, the drug use. And I think in a way also he feels responsible in a way that he wasn't good enough a teacher.
See, you wrote a backstory for yourself here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you generally do when you're taking a role?
You try to understand the character so that you can go some places with some type of reason. Why would somebody do this? For instance, one instance that wasn't really developed in the film itself was the two different tours that he did in Vietnam. You know, but I felt it was important, for instance, in one line to ad lib and say, "I went to Vietnam twice and I came back clean." Because what some people don't understand is in some areas in New Mexico, you have grandfathers who went to Korea, fathers who went to Vietnam, and the third generation probably now is going to Iraq or Afghanistan. And in the first two cases, a lot of people came back and they had the drug problem.
Does Vincent Nunez encourage ad-libbing? I've seen Ulysses Gold and Ruby in Paradise. They didn't feel like the actors were given a lot of leeway.
I don't recall him encouraging it, but I would discuss with him. I would explain to him what I felt that was necessary to consider. And he's a very smart man. He knew exactly, in my opinion, he had a very clear idea of what he wanted to do. And I felt comfortable that he would guide me. I think he did a wonderful job with Peter Fonda mm-hmm. and Ulysses Gold. And I worked with Peter later on with the Maldonado Miracle. And Peter, you know, Peter is a handful. And he's a great guy. I love him dearly. But, you know, he's not a day at the beach. Neither am I, for that matter. So he handled us very well, I think.
My guest is Ruben Blades, who plays Senior in Spoken Word, a new film that opens in New York today at the big cinemas in Manhattan. Weren't you working as Panama's tourism minister when you decided to take this role?
No, what happened is I started in September 2004 in Panama, in that position, in charge of tourism in Panama, under the government of Martin Torrijos. And in 2008, I had accumulated some time. We were supposed to take a holiday 1 month every year, but most of us didn't do that because we have a lot of work to do. And the government at one point said, you know, there were people that were putting in all these months of holiday pay, and the government wanted to get that out of the books and said, you know, you have a holiday, take your holiday. So I had three offers for three different films that had been accumulating, and every one of these offers needed me to be too long, 2 months. And then there was this one for 3 weeks, and I had a month. So I said, okay, I'm going to take the opportunity and see if I can get my medical coverage back, which I lost when I went to serve my country. You know, so Screen Actors Guild, and also was Victor Nunez, and it was a good role. And I thought, hey, I'm going to do this because in one more year, I'll be done, and I'm going back to this.
So here you are. Your background is in law and music, and you've done a lot of acting. How do you think of yourself these days? As an actor, as a musician, as a Panamanian government official?
I'm just a person that has a lot of different interests and follows them through. Or tries, basically. I was raised to believe that I could and should follow my mind and my heart and my spirit, you know. So I never, I didn't have any problems. And people ask me this all the time. They ask me, where do you feel more comfortable? And I said, well, whatever it is that I'm doing, because I have passion for that. If I don't have passion for that, I don't do it. So when I stop being a minister, I stop being a minister, period, you know. That's it. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm not called the excellency or, you know, I don't have to wear a suit anymore.
You went back then to Panama after you made the film?
Yes, absolutely. 3 weeks, done, boom.
And an opportunity to work with one of the best film directors out there. This is his first film made outside of Florida. So he was a little bit out of his comfort zone. What about you working in this these towns north of Santa Fe?
You know, every place you go is a place you visited before under a different name. People's stories are the same. I always feel comfortable wherever I go.
There's a recurring poem throughout the movie called Where I'm From, and it has to do with people really coming to grips with who they are and where they come from and reconciling themselves with their past, something you probably haven't had all that much trouble with because you've had a rather interesting past.
I don't expect more of a situation. If I go to Chimayo, I don't expect to see tall buildings and a Starbucks. You know, you don't go expecting those things.
Did you go into Ortega's, that one?
Yes.
There's no place like it in the world.
No.
And was the film shot there?
It was around that area. We went actually to different towns that were close by. Different locations, but I've been there before when I was doing the Milagro Binfield War with Redford in 85, 86, we were in Truchas, so we did some shooting in Truchas as well, all that area.
Well, in New Mexico is a whole bunch of different states depending on where you go, but it's interesting that northern New Mexico, in some ways, is more Mexican than southern New Mexico.
Yeah. I think because most of the people there have stayed there for so long. You know, they really have been there since the very beginning.
Has the area been hit as much by drug use as the film suggests?
Yes.
I know Nunez said that he read books like Land of Enchantment, Land of Conflict, and Chiva, Village Takes on the Global Heroin Trade. heroin in this area?
What happens is, I think it began as a local situation there for apparently some of the people, like I said, they went to the wars, and when they came back with the habit. Mm-hmm. You remember, a lot of people who went to Vietnam have been reported that they came back, not everybody, but a disproportionate percentage of the people who came back with a heroin use problem. And a lot of these guys come from areas that are economically depressed or areas where they needed to get out of. And when they go back to the same place. And then you had the strange situation of grandfathers, fathers, and sons all using drugs together. Mm. So that's what it meant. I heard, I'm not sure, but apparently one of the counties nearby had the highest per capita addiction problem in the whole United States.
And the film gives a sense that it can be seductive. Cruz, the junior, your son, is tempted. We wonder throughout the film whether he's going to go back to San Francisco or whether he's going to be sucked into this world.
Is that easy to get back into it? I mean, it's a way to belong. And if you have a self-esteem problem and you're not focused, then you can easily be sucked into whatever else everybody is doing.
If most of the characters in this film travel to neighboring Arizona, aren't they likely to be stopped and asked for proof of citizenship?
Absolutely. You know,
was that something? Well, you were there in 2008 before all mm-hmm. of this started happening. But were you aware of tensions there?
Not really. I think everybody is trying to avoid problems. I mean, the people there were wonderful to us, and I have to stress the fact that during the time that we were there, no one was afraid of anything. I mean, people were very friendly. The people I saw were very together. And the community helped tremendously to the film's success. And I didn't notice anything other than every so often you say, por aquí pasó, you know, we had a situation where the police were looking for this and looking for that, because some areas have unfortunately become centers of traffic. But at no time did I see anything that would make me feel uncomfortable.
Are you still making music?
And well, I'm sort of trying to get back into the horse. The whole everything has changed so much in this 5 years. The piracy issue has really destroyed the music business as we knew it.
The big companies are kind of falling apart.
They are, and they're becoming managers really now. And distribution. It's very difficult to find. I have albums and I can't have – I'm trying to negotiate a distribution deal with a small label because the bigger labels don't want to compete with the pirate. So it's hard. But I mean, I continue to make music. I have about 12 records that I'm going to be making in the next months.
Is that true all over or in the United States? For example, can you still sell records in Panama?
Not many. It's a problem everywhere. I had an album that I just released in Puerto Rico and the internet, Cantares del Subdesarrollo. And when I got to a Latin American country during my tour with Cesar Solar, they had it there. And the funny part is that we had done it in like a soft case, mm-hmm. soft made of paper. When we got there, they had it like encapsulated in plastic. There was... The pirate version was better than the one I put out, and it was cheaper.
And with digital, they can do it. It can just sound exactly the same.
I'm
not going to suggest to anybody to get into that business. But I do want you to know that Ruben Blades and one of the co-writers of the film, Joe Ray Sandoval, will be answering questions after the 7:40 screenings tonight and tomorrow at the big cinemas in Manhattan. That's at East 59th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues. The film, Spoken Word, by Victor Nunez. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you, and I hope I see you sooner than the last 10 years. I want to